WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Hey, happy Monday. It is April 27th, 2015. We've got a fantastic show in store for you all. Of course, we will talk about the Michigan State spring game, which of course took place on Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. Excuse me. And what a turnout, folks! I mean, 48,000 people packed inside of Spartan Stadium. That's actually a spring game record. You'll get to hear coverage from that game. Also, we'll chat about the Red Wings. How about the Wings, huh? Taking a 3-2 series lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, folks, I'm still sore. I was very, very sore, actually, waking up this morning as I participated in the Battlefield Brawl flag football tournament. You'll get to hear from, of course, Todd, formerly known as TJ Duckett. Of course, MSU running back great. Also, former Michigan State men's basketball great Andre Hudson, who participated. And also, who the event is really centered upon, who has become really the face of the event, Justin Kane. You get to hear from those individuals and also hear of my recount during yesterday's tourney. Again, I'm still in pain, folks. All of that and so much more. But hey, as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this April 27th. All right, and what was a fun day for fans and players alike, the white team, led by quarterback Connor Cook, defeated the green team 9-3 in the annual MSU spring game. Now, Jack Allen scored the game's only touchdown, and the white team got to enjoy steak while the green team was forced to settle for Franks and beans. So that's a tradition that D'Antonio always enacts. We'll also talk about the X's and O's when it comes to this game in just a second, as well as the 48,000 who showed up to Spartan Stadium. All right, the Michigan State football recruiting realm has really taken off with the spring game this past weekend. Messiah DeWeaver started the chain of commitments on April 22nd, the Friday before the spring game. Running back Abdul Adams committed. Next up were two recruits from Ohio to commit the day of the spring game, and linebacker Joe Bocci and wide receiver Justin Lane. The weekend was capped off with another Ohio commit, as the Spartans got verbal commits from tight end Noah Davis. Now, Michigan State's 2016 class now stands with 7 verbal commitments. All right, how about those Red Wings, huh? The Detroit Red Wings, they took a 3-2 lead in a best-of-7 series with a shutout win against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday, 4-9 of the final of that one. Now, Peter Mrazek had his second career playoff shutout this series, stopping 28 shots to lead the Red Wings. Riley Sheehan, Drew Miller, Pavel Datsyuk, and Danny DeKeyser scored for the Wings. Detroit looked to end the series tonight in the D at the Joe at 7 p.m. How about that? All right, the Detroit Tigers, they took 2 out of 3 series in a against, of course, the Cleveland Indians this weekend. Bouncing back from a series loss against the New York Yankees, Shane Green took the loss in a game one blowout, 13-1. Alfredo Simon won game two, allowing only 1 earned run in 6 2/3 innings and a 4-1 victory. Kyle Lobstein, he pitched 6 innings, allowing 3 earned runs in an 8-6 victory in game three. All right, quick NBA playoff update here. The Washington Wizards and Cleveland Cavaliers both got out their brooms over the weekend, sweeping the Raptors and the Celtics, respectively. Now, however, the Cavs will hope Milwaukee, who avoided a sweep to the Bulls, can pull off another game as they wait for news on Kevin Love. Now, Love, it was stated yesterday that he will be out at least 2 weeks with a dislocated shoulder suffered in game 4 against the Celts. Now, Cleveland will hope to weather the storm and get Love back deeper into the playoffs. The Nets took a game from the Hawks to make that series a manageable 2-1. Out in the West, Golden State Warriors, they swept the New Orleans Pelicans. The Grizzlies, they look to sweep the Trailblazers tonight. And the Spurs and Clippers make up for the best series in the first round, tied at 2-2. And the Dallas Mavericks were able to avoid a sweep against Houston. All right, how about this? Wladimir Klitschko, he made his 18th consecutive successful title defense over the weekend at Madison Square Garden. Klitschko won on scores of 116-111. 116-111 as well, and from another judge, and 118-109. But it was not an easy night for the Ukrainian superstar, who admitted as much after the fight, giving Jennings, who is 19-1 with 10 knockouts, plenty of credit. He said, quote, "He had a great desire to win and be a champion. He was even talking in the rounds and trying to make it like an Ali Frazier bout. He gave me a great challenge." Again, that's coming from Klitschko and what he told HBO's Max Kellerman after the fight. All right, a UFC champion, John Jones, is being named as a suspect in the case of a hit-and-run car accident after a woman's car was struck on Sunday morning in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the offender in the other vehicle fled the scene. Now, the woman, whose name was withheld by Albuquerque PD, was rushed to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, Albuquerque PD spokesman Simon Drobik said. Now, Jones is scheduled to defend his title against Anthony Johnson at UFC 187 on May 23rd in Las Vegas. All right, well, that wraps up your current sports quick and headliners. Again, the number to call in is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And without further ado, how about we start the show? This brisk 52-degree day here in East Lansing, Michigan. 48,000 fans attended this year's Spartan Green and White game here at Spartan Stadium. Now, that's actually 2,000 people less than, of course, Coach D's goal of 50,000. But with a spring game number like that, a spring game record to be exact, it's pretty hard to complain, especially when you've got 200 recruits in the house.
Yeah, I think recruiting has sort of taken off a little bit this week. And that's a positive. We've been on guys, and we've had a lot of them up here numerous times. A lot of these football players are very good players with opportunities elsewhere, obviously.
It was great. You know, I think everyone was super happy to see Spartan Nation out there in full force. 50,000 people, 48,000, whatever it was. And I think Coach G always kept saying, you know, bring 50. So credit to them for coming out, even on, you know, a cloudy day. You know, not too bad. It got nicer at the end. But it's always nice to go out there and play in front of a big crowd.
Yeah, I think this has got to be the most that I've seen since I've been here ever. Okay, yeah. You know, it's just exciting. So that just makes, you know, as players, it wants the season to come faster, because we know we're going to have a lot of fans there.
The crowd was good. I think the crowd was pretty into it. You know, I think we this year we tried to do more, a lot with our fans, you know, like having them run out the tunnel, just be more engaged. You know? So I think that played a plus. So looking forward for a lot during the season.
We're excited about the movement today. And so I guess that's all I'm allowed to say.
Well, spring practice and the spring game is in the books. The season opener will be September 4th against Western Michigan University. I'm Al Martin here in the friendly confines of Spartan Stadium for WKAR's Current Sports.
And Mama used to say, take your time, young man. And Mama used to say, don't you rush to get old. And Mama used to say, take it in your stride. And Mama used to say, live your life. As the years were rushing by, you would cut down.
Oh, yes, we are jamming on this Monday afternoon. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. How about that, man? It's one of my favorite old school tunes that you are hearing right there. Of course, that is Junior, a 1982 classic right there. Of course, Mama used to say. I was in the mood this morning to play something, a throwback joint, and this one just spoke to me. All right, folks. But welcome to the show. We've got a fantastic one for you. Our phone lines are open all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And what you just heard during that montage is actually my report from the Michigan State Green and White Spring Game, which, of course, took place on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Of course, the white team pulled out a 9-3 victory, not really a game that had a lot of scoring, actually only one touchdown scored throughout the entire game, but a fun atmosphere nonetheless. Actually, since I've been covering spring games, and, the numbers never lie, 48,000 is actually the highest attendance ever in a Michigan State spring game at Spartan Stadium. So an attendance record with 48K. Now, again, as I stated in my report, which you can see the visual of by just simply going to WKAR.org right now, of course, Mark D'Antonio won at 50K. But I tell you what, when looking at the crowd, now, of course, those numbers I think were skewed just a little bit because when looking around, I had guesstimated around 45,000 to be there when I was sitting in the press box just looking around and looking at the different people sitting down. But 48,000, 2,000, just short of that goal of 50K. I mean, as you heard, I mean, D'Antonio was still pleased about the attendance. Anytime you set a record for attendance, that's still nothing to scoff at. And, I always say, when looking at the spring games, I mean, again, you got to take it with a big bag of salt. Not a grain, a huge, huge bag, folks. Because when looking at it, I mean, the game is nationally televised. Of course, the Big Ten Network aired the game on their broadcast. And, when you talk about an intra-squad game, an exhibition game of that sort, when you're not playing anyone, I mean, you don't want to reveal any secrets. So throughout the spring game, pretty generic play calling. Just the players out there having a lot of fun. You had the two respective captains for each team and honorees, I guess you could say, in MSU men's basketball players, Travis Trice and Matt Costello. And there were a plethora of other people during that game on the sidelines, of Spartan lore and Spartan history. Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback, great. He was on the broadcast along with George Blaha. So it's just a fun atmosphere. That's what the spring game is all about, providing a fun atmosphere so that the fans can enjoy it and not really taking the game too serious. Of course, guys are out there playing hard, especially those in battles for certain positions on the squad. But hey, football doesn't really officially start until we talk about the end of this summer. So just a really fun game, really a fun time. And if you estimate, 48K was the official estimate of those inside of Spartan Stadium, but there were plenty of folks just in the parking lot as well. So, when you look at it, yeah, let's give D'Antonio the 50,000 that he wanted, okay? And a lot of it has to do with, the reason why D'Antonio called for 50K. As I stated last week when we were previewing actually the spring game, is that when you talk about the atmosphere of a spring game, I mean, you have a lot of recruits there. Again, as I stated, 200 recruits in the house to witness that spring game. I mean, when you're a young kid trying to decide where you want to take your football talents and you decide to go to the Michigan State spring game and see all of those people there, all of the hoopla surrounded around the Michigan State football program, I mean, yeah, that could be a pretty deep convincing factor as to why a young kid would want to come to Michigan State. And if you look at it, I mean, wow. Mark D'Antonio has had one productive recruiting tenure, I should say, for the past, 5 or 6 days. As you heard in our headliners, I mean, my goodness, Noah Davis, tight end from Cincinnati St. Xavier High School, he announced his 2016 pledge to the Spartans on Twitter a day after attending the MSU spring game. How about that? So he, Noah is a guy who was at the spring game. He attended it, saw the atmosphere and said, hey, I want to be a part of this tradition. And on Twitter, he actually said, quote, I am very happy to announce that I have officially committed to Michigan State to further my academic and athletic career. Hashtag MSU. Now, Davis, who is a 6'5", 235-pound, three-star player who reportedly had offers from Nebraska, Iowa, Arkansas, and several other schools, he made his decision after seeing that atmosphere on Saturday afternoon. Now, if you look at it, I mean, Davis gives MSU now 7 verbals for the class of 2016, 5 of them in a 5-day span. Of course, that all started with quarterback Messiah DeWeaver of Huber Heights, Ohio, actually the number 8 nationally ranked quarterback, pro-style quarterback, I should say. And, DeWeaver went on the record to say, yeah, I'm actually going to be trying to now recruit for MSU. Since I'm coming here, I want to play with other great players. And DeWeaver, I mean, I tell you, he's a former Michigan, you know, commitment who reopened his recruitment in January, and he picked Michigan State over schools like Penn State and Mississippi State. And again, he said, hey, I'm going to start recruiting for Michigan State now. And he was followed by running back Abdul Adams, of Washington, D.C., then Saturday by linebacker Joe Bocci of Berea, Ohio, who is a former Western Michigan commitment, and receiver Justin Lane of Cleveland Benedictine. So how about that? I mean, you get all of this talent, you know, in just a really short span, making their decision really based on, you know, first off, Messiah committing early, and Messiah, I'm sure, putting the bug out there, and also those just coming to Michigan State to witness that atmosphere. So it was a fun time. Of course, I was there. Again, you can see my report from the MSU spring game by simply going to WKAR.org. Now, as far as the X's and O's, I tell you what I was impressed the most with, and before I even go to my you know, I guess you can say my key players throughout the game, really the highlight moments for me, I got to shout out MSU center Jack Allen. How about that? He scored actually the only touchdown of the game with a 3-yard run. And if you remember a few plays before that, oh, how about Donovan Clark, another offensive lineman, getting a screen pass from Connor Cook when things really broke down. It looked as though Connor Cook was going to be sacked. He's really rushed and hurried on that play. He sees Clark to his right, dumps it off to Clark for, again, a screen pass, and Clark goes up the sidelines and really has some daylight. He came just short of that goal line, which, of course, lined up very well for Jack Allen to get the handoff and cross the pylons for a touchdown. Really cool moment. And that's what the spring game is about, having fun out there. I mean, you even saw, defensive end Shalik Calhoun lining up as a tight end and possibly on a reception. Connor Cook, and during one or two plays, we saw him as a wide receiver. So, again, it's the spring game, folks. You know, you can't put too much weight on it. Now, as far as performances that you saw throughout the spring game that could allude to future success for this team, hey, how about the Michigan State defense, okay? Again, a low-scoring 9-3 game. And I really thought that the defensive line for Michigan State yesterday looked really – well, excuse me, over the weekend on Saturday, looked really, really good. Shalik Calhoun, he had 3 tackles, including 2.5 sacks. Lawrence Thomas, Malik McDowell. I mean, those guys look really, really impressive. You know, so I think Michigan State, as far as the defensive line goes, is going to be another year of really just tipping your cap to them, because, I mean, they've been fantastic for now with the past 2 to 3 years, especially with the emergence of Shalik Calhoun, just to see him get better and better each and every year. Shalik and his squad looked great nonetheless. And, you know, looking at the, you know, green versus white, of course, the quarterback for the white team was Connor Cook. For the green team, it was Tyler O'Connor. And I tell you what, Tyler O'Connor got pressured a lot. His numbers didn't look that great throughout the game. He looked very tentative, kind of a little bit frustrated and unconfident because of really that pass rush that was really just bothering him throughout that game. Now, Connor Cook, on the other hand, all you say, he's cool, confident Cook. I mean, he looked great. 11-22, 105 yards. And right now, just looking at that spring game, maybe DeAnthony Arnett becomes his favorite receiver. Maybe he replaces what Tony Lippett was to Cook, last season. DeAnthony Arnett, he had 5 catches for 51 yards. Running back Madre London, that's really the matchup that I wanted to really hone into. Because, of course, with Delton Williams, and we all know what happened in the offseason with him, who is now suspended right now from league activities, or Michigan State football activities, I should say, with Delton Williams not playing in this game and not being part of the squad, you know, the question mark for me was who was going to step up at running back. And, you know, the two guys who we've seen throughout spring practice, especially when looking at their numbers in the first 2 scrimmages, were, of course, Madre London and Gerald Holmes. Madre London had 70 yards on 9 carries. Gerald Holmes had 48 yards on 11 attempts. Madre London had the biggest reception of the game. He had a chunk of yards. But, you know, really, really interesting dynamic between those two. Hey, we haven't even seen L.J. Scott yet. We haven't even seen him don a green and white uniform yet. So that's going to make that competition even more intriguing once he arrives on campus. So, you know, but looking at those two, Madre London and Gerald Holmes, I thought they did a solid job. I thought Gerald Holmes, even though looking at the numbers, you know, it looks as though Madre London got the upper hand with 70 yards on 9 carries. But, you know, Gerald Holmes is 48 yards on 11 attempts. Wasn't bad. He was pretty solid, folks, and you heard him actually through that montage as well. So we'll see. I mean, again, there's not so much you can tell when looking at a spring game, that, you know, there's not really any legit offensive schemes that D'Antonio threw out there. It's really just putting on a show for the fans and just getting guys reps at the end of the day. But overall, a great atmosphere. It was a pretty decent day. About, again, as I said, about 52 degrees, brisk day. It was mostly cloudy throughout most of the game, but as that game ended in the fourth quarter, the sun came out and it was absolutely beautiful. So overall, the spring game was a success, especially from a recruiting standpoint. Again, man, how about that? MSU, 5 commitments in 5 days. Impressive stuff. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to talk about those Red Wings right now. Wow. How about that? Now, during that same day, on Saturday, you know, I've actually finished up covering the spring game. I want to say around 5 o'clock. So I got home just in time, right in the nick of time, to watch the Red Wings take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Wings taking a 3-2 series lead in this best of 7 series. And now they bring home a chance tonight at 7 p.m., a chance to move on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And really, looking at Saturday's game, it was the most impressive outing that the Red Wings have had all series long. I mean, a 4-0 shutout win. Peter Mrazek, he's just getting better by the game, it seems. He had his second career playoff shutout this series, stopping 28 shots to lead the Red Wings. Now, first off, I want to start off by talking about Mrazek. Again, 28 saves, folks. Didn't allow a goal past him. And looking at the numbers here for, you know, comparing Detroit to Tampa Bay, this really was the first game where Tampa Bay outshot the Wings, outshot them, but at the same time, the Wings came through with the victory. And what I mean by outshot, because they seem, I'll tell you what, Tampa Bay has been very aggressive throughout this entire playoff series. And when looking at the total shots, Tampa Bay has totally dominated. Detroit actually had a two-shot advantage in this game. 30-28, folks. 8 giveaways in favor of Tampa Bay in that one. Only 3 giveaways for Detroit. How about that, folks? And Peter Mrazek has just been a man. A man. I mean, and looking at, you know, this, him being 23 years old, this is his first series. His first playoff series, folks. And for him to have an overall outing, with the exception of one game, I would say that's game 2, with the exception of that game, I mean, Peter Mrazek has been lights out and really given his team a chance to win. And now, if you would have told me that Detroit would have a 3-2 series lead coming back to Detroit, a chance to close it out at the Joe tonight, I would have said you are absolutely crazy. Thought it was a greedy decision for Luke Glendinning, who of course had that bad cut the previous game prior to Saturday's game. Him coming back and still playing, I tell you what, hockey players are tough, folks. And you know, you got production from Riley Sheehan, Drew Miller, Pavel Datsyuk, Danny DeKeyser. They all contributed in those. Of course, they were all who scored for the Wings on Saturday's outing. So now it becomes realistic. It now becomes tangible because the Wings now have an opportunity to close things out. I think if the Wings don't win tonight, I don't know if they can win against Tampa, folks, to get out this series. I mean, you have all the momentum on your side. You're just coming off a shutout win, 4-0. The confidence for Tampa Bay really seems shot. I think, you know, this is the opportunity for Detroit to close it out here because everything is on their side right now. Right now, Tampa Bay is reeling. If Tampa Bay was to win tonight, the momentum all of a sudden shifts, and we're talking about a game 7 that the Wings have to pull out. I don't know if I see that happening, folks. I just don't know if I see that happening. So right now, hey, hats off to the Red Wings. 3-2 lead, going to be very interesting to see if they can close it out. And all signs point to yes. I mean, looking at these past few games for the Wings now, again, if Peter Mrazek continues to play lights out like he has, book it. Book the Wings to the second round, folks, right now. I want to invite now Current Sports radio engineer Isaac Constance to Current Sports. Isaac, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Al. Yeah, like you said, great weekend for some MSU football. I mean, it made me a little anxious for this fall already.
Yeah, did you get a chance to catch the spring game?
You know, I did. I went with some friends, and yeah, it was you know, it's a spring game. Like you said, can't take too much from it. I mean, when centers are scoring touchdowns and, you know, guards are catching screen passes. But it was a fun time and just great to see the team again. Like you said, all these recruits are flocking in. It's really a good time to be a MSU fan and student.
Yeah, it's very impressive. That's the thing about the spring game. I mean, that's what that atmosphere is built for. When you have that amount of recruits in one building, you're trying to wine and dine them. You're trying to show them what this program is about. You're trying to point to the fans and say, hey, look at that. Look, we have 48,000 fans here for a spring game. Just imagine how crazy it's going to be once the season starts. Do you want to be a part of that tradition? And slowly but surely, I mean, these kids are just buying in and making their commitment for Michigan State, starting without a doubt. Now, about the Wings, man, I want to get your thoughts on the Wings now because, again, I didn't think they would have a 3-2 series lead with a chance to close things out against Tampa Bay tonight at home. Do you think tonight's a must-win for the Wings?
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, I think, like you said, not many of us expect it to come down to this, just the way the momentum's been swinging like a pendulum in the series, you know?
Right.
So I think I think you have to close out that door of opportunity for the Lightning when you can. And because I think if they win tonight, I think it will be tough to beat them on their home ice.
Yeah, certainly. And that's the thing about it. I mean, Tampa Bay, for whatever reason, just has been... They haven't been great on the road. They have played absolutely horrid on the road. But when they are at home, and especially, I mean, you just add to the fire that it's going to be a Game 7 on Wednesday. I mean, when they are at home, they usually handle business. And when the stakes are, you know, are high, our stakes are pretty high. So Detroit at Tampa Bay in a Game 7 on Wednesday night, I don't know. I would take my chances right now in Detroit just closing it out tonight so they don't have to deal with that. I mean, and the Wings have been outstanding at home throughout this series. So I think this is a must-win. What do you think, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to also shout out, of course, former Spartans for the Michigan State hockey team that have been pretty much, very, very much key components to why the Wings have this 3-2 series lead. How about Drew Miller and how about Justin Abdelkader? I mean, both of those guys, I mean, when they are playing and when they are aggressive and causing havoc, man, they are key factors. They have been key factors throughout this series. So there you have it. Wings tonight at 7 p.m. Hey, hopefully tomorrow we're talking about a Detroit Red Wing victory, huh? Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'm actually going to play a feature. I wasn't just only covering the Michigan State spring game on Saturday, but on Sunday, I, of course, partook in a tradition that has now been going on for 6 years. Last year was actually my first time participating in it. It's entitled the Battlefield Brawl Charity Flag Football Tournament. Of course, put on by New World Flood. Of course, that's Todd T.J. Duckett's organization. And it's really for one incredible cause. I was out there, got a chance to talk to some of the athletes and play along some of the really just notable names in Michigan State athletic history. Hear about that and so much more right here after the break on WKAR's Current Sports. What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and your host, Al Martin, is in a bit of pain right now. I woke up, folks. My alarm went off pretty early this morning. Of course, I was a guest on this morning's Current State with Mark Bayshore to talk about the spring game. And when my alarm went off, folks, I woke up and tried to move, and I felt like my entire body was going to fall apart. For lack of a better term, I mean, I woke up and my legs were barely moved. They were cramped up. I have like this weird cramp like in my lower back right now. My arm, which I thought I dislocated at one time during yesterday's tournament, is feeling a bit sore. I mean, oh my goodness. I'm beat up right now, folks. I am beat up. And it's for a good reason and a good cause at the end of the day. If you guys don't know, the Battlefield Brawl Flag Football Charity Tournament is quickly becoming now really something to look forward to each and every spring. Put on by, of course, Todd T.J. Duckett's New World Flood Organization. which is, of course, centered around helping the community and helping our youth with whatever quarrels and quandaries they may have. And, you know, and just in general, just doing charity events that just affect our society in positive ways. Todd has done one unbelievable job organizing this this formidable event, which takes place the day after each and every Green and White Spring game, right at Marshall Park, off of Saginaw Street in Lansing, Michigan. And I took part in it last year, and it was just a great time, folks. We actually have the video of that report when I first did it last year on Current Sports TV. I forget who my guest was that week. I'm gonna have to dig that up and let you guys know so you can see the visual of it. But you'll also get to see another report of some of the footage that we shot this past weekend from that event on this week's Current Sports TV show. But I partook in it this year, and again, we just had a fun time, folks. I mean, I was on this year's team with, of course, former Michigan State men's basketball great Andre Hudson. Andre was on my team, and I tell you what, it's a luxury to have him on your flag football team, because, I mean, a lot of the guys, there's not many guys who are above 6 feet five, right? So, I mean, pretty much on a lot of plays, when we're in the end zone, we could just play alley-oop with Andre, and people would try to double and triple team him, and he's just snagging it over everybody. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, I was playing on the team with Andre. Last year, I played on Todd's team, and we went all the way to the quarterfinals, just as what we did this year. But we ended up falling into quarterfinals to a team by the name of New Breed. And those guys have been practicing and playing with each other for like 5+ years. So they had like plays drawn up and whatnot. I mean, they took it pretty serious. Okay. But it's just a really, really cool event. Now, the Battlefield Brawl, it's a flag football tournament that raises money and awareness for kids battling life-threatening illnesses in the Olin Project Kids program, which is a Greater Lansing nonprofit that provides free professional portraits to cancer patients. Now, it's not your average tournament, as it stars celebrities, professional athletes, and past Michigan State University football and basketball players. These celebrity athletes are drafted to the teams that raise the most funds for the cause. Now, it's just a fun story. Now, it's a cool backstory to it as well, because what they call their brawl champion is a cancer survivor. His name is Justin Kane, who battled brain cancer as a kid, found his passion and purpose from his experience. Justin wanted to share his victory and his story to help other kids battling life-threatening illnesses. So in 2009, Justin, of course, partnered with New World Flood founder Todd Duckett to create the Battlefield Brawl. Here's actually Todd, Andre Hudson, and Justin talking about this incredible event.
We say Everyday Janes and Joes partner up with our X Factors. So business people in the community, they get a team, families, moms, dads, they get families, or they get teams, and they draft X Factors. Myself, you, former MSU professional athletes, TV personalities, community leaders, and we get a chance to come out here and be on the same page, same field, if you will, and raise money for an amazing cause. Ultimately, it's the community getting together.
Now, talking about that cause itself, I know you guys are here with the Olin Project. Yes. I mean, talk about that cause.
The Olin Project, they take pictures of men and women and children going through life-threatening illnesses. It's a chance for them to have a picture going through a terrible time. If their person passes, they can remember them in a beautiful way. If they survive, it's an amazing memory through a dark time. So what we're doing is we're creating these day to breathes where these patients can have a day to get away from it, have a day to forget about chemo, have a day to relax. So us out here playing this game, our day to get away is a chance to provide the same opportunities to those less fortunate and families who are struggling with disease, illness, and things that we can't really. God provides things on people's families. We just do our part to help benefit everybody else.
I'll tell you what, Ty, something I admire about you. I mean, when you talk about the Flood movement, if you will, I mean, you have always been a component in making sure that the community is taken care of and lifting as you climb. Yeah. Why is that so important to you?
Because that's what we're all about, man. I mean, all of us are going to be gone one day, each and every one of us. And we need to leave the place better than it was when we were here. We don't know when we're going to be gone. We don't know when that chance comes, but we are each a single raindrop. We are each a single person who has passion, who has a purpose. And if we can fulfill that and live in abundance and with each other, when the time's gone, whether it's this video they watch, whether it's the books that we read, the people who come up after us will see what we've done, the prices we've paid, and examples of how you can make the community better.
I'm a competitive guy by nature, right. But I did not realize how competitive it is. I mean, I'm on your team today. Yeah. And being out there with you and with the rest of the fellas, I mean, we're out there trying to win. I mean, talk about the competitive nature of this event as well.
Well, like I said, I've been a vet, so I understand there's some teams out here that take this real serious. And so for us this year, we're playing with a new team. I want to prepare those guys and let them know for what's in store. And it's really fun, man. I mean, you get so many different levels of football players out here, some who've never played, some who – played on a professional level, and so you really get out here and mix it up, and it's nice. I mean, it's good to get the community out and see something different. Well, I think TJ has really hit it on the head for us athletes. You know, we get a lot of recognition and a lot of glory for some of the things we've been able to do on the field and on the courts, and we draw attention. So it's good for us in some aspects to try to help and give back to the community, because we do have that attractiveness where people want to come out and they want to support and they want to see what we're doing. And so I think TJ kind of is in the same mode as me, as we take it on as a responsibility to put our effort in to make this community a better place.
We have probably over 100 players, but then we probably have another 100 observers. And we have stuff for the kids, we have food vendors. We're trying to make this a family event that people can come out and really have a good time and do some good things for some people that need it.
How cool is that, folks? And again, it's just a great cause. Again, that's Justin Kane, the last voice you just heard, who they call their brawl champion. He's a cancer survivor. He battled brain cancer as a kid and really found his passion and purpose from his experience and wanted to partner with Tide, who is the of course, founder of the New World Flood Movement. And they really just put this whole thing together 6 years ago. And it is unbelievable. I went out there, and you see different local, quote-unquote, celebrities. I don't consider myself a local celebrity, but they invited me out and dubbed me as that. But I go out there, man, and you get to meet all these different personalities and different personnel. You even saw, you know, guys like Lorenzo White showed up, Shalik Calhoun and the MSU football player showed up. I mean, it's really become a big event, and they were actually trying to give me tips throughout the game. But, hey, I don't need them. I had like 5 reception, all right? 2 for touchdowns. But fun time. It was just a fun time. And, you know, I encourage you all, if you haven't heard about it, all you got to do is go to newworldflood.org, and they have all the information about the event on there. And we're actually going to get Todd live on the show pretty soon, and also Andre as well, as he has some endeavors concerning his Conquest Fitness Arena. So you don't want to miss any of that. But I just had a great time. But I certainly am paying for it. I tell you what, man, I tried to soak in some Epsom salt last night, and I am still hurting, and I plan on going to the gym later on. So yeah, the hurt should continue. But hey, that's a good thing. I'm staying in shape, right? So all right, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I know we had Todd was on line one. Sorry, Todd, we couldn't get you in time. If you want to call back, we'll definitely take your call. 517-355-9527. I want to transition now really briefly to talk about the Detroit Tigers, because the Tigers had a pretty good weekend, folks. And I tell you what, it seems as though every single weekend, or every single time, I should say, that Miguel Cabrera takes the plate against the Cleveland Indians, something special happens. He had a great outing nonetheless. Detroit took 2 out of the 3 games in the series against the Cleveland Indians this past weekend, bouncing back from a series loss against the New York Yankees. Shane Green took the loss in the game 1 blowout, 13-1. And I tell you what, folks, can we please, I want to get this message out there. I feel like I'm doing a public service announcement right now, because, folks, we are talking about the very beginning of a Detroit Tigers baseball year. I mean, I don't care if Detroit rattled off 13 or 14 straight wins here. And they had an incredible start. And they still have one incredible start to the year. And, you know, and there's things you can certainly draw from it, because the Detroit Tigers are arguably, you know, the best team in baseball, arguably. And if they keep on rattling wins, I understand it's a very exciting time. But it is still early. That's what I want to remind folks, because it seems as though the diehard Tigers fans out there, they get so high when the Tigers are playing well. And even when they're not, if the Tigers were to lose 3 to 4 games, you know, straight, they get so low. It's just an ebb and flows. Folks, you still have a long, long, long season. So, and I just want to remind folks out there, because I feel a lot of people are out there when they're watching the Detroit Tigers game, the feeling I get from them is that the playoffs start tomorrow. No, let's hold our horses here. I think the Tigers are playing outstanding, and I do mean outstanding. When, especially, how about Jose Iglesias? I mean, did you see that outfield catch that he had yesterday? I mean, and Brad Ausmus admitted after the game, I mean, he'd rather not see it again, or Riley doesn't want that to happen again. But, I mean, the ball's coming down, two Tigers going after it, of course, one of them having to be Jose Iglesias. And right before it hits the grass, Jose snags his glove up and just gets it like it's nothing. I mean, this kid is amazing. I think they actually did a sports science on Jose Iglesias like 2 weeks back, which is crazy. The kid, he'll be 20. Well, he's 25 years old. His birthday was in January, born in 1990. And young kid with athleticism that is really unmatched. It's really unbelievable to watch this kid play. So, hey, I'm just saying, right now the Tigers are looking good, but let's not get too high or too low. We still have a lot of baseball left to play, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to our phone lines really briefly. We've got my man Mike from Saginaw on line one. How you doing, Mike?
How you doing there, L?
Good, I'm doing good.
What I was telling you last time I called you, I was talking about this New Yorker article, the man who broke the music business.
Right, I remember you mentioned that. You're right, right.
Right, and I don't know if you had looked at it or not, but this was the beginning of the online piracy. You know how people would, he was going to the printing plant where they print the CDs at before the release date, and he was putting them, selling them to computer people with computer information, and they was putting them on websites and everything, so that's why you don't hear the artists are not getting into platinum records like they used to and gold records like they used to. I thought you might have.
Yeah, I actually wrote that down. I haven't checked it out yet, but I do have it in my notes. I wrote that down when you brought it up last week. Yeah.
All right, then. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
The magazine is dated for today, April 27th.
Nice. Thank you, Mike.
I'd like to talk to you about MSU, before I get to your question, you know in the Detroit News today, they showed all the universities with their graduation rates, and y'all was in the top 10, wasn't it?
Really? I didn't see that. No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, it's right on the front page, about all the universities in the state of Michigan and their graduation rates.
Go green, baby. Go green.
Go green. Did you see who else went? Is this the last? Was Sunday was the last day before the guys can declare they can go pro in the NBA?
I'm not sure what. We'll have to check on that. Isaac, do you know? You know what date that is?
Yes, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday. So, yeah, yesterday was the deadline,
okay.
Mike.
Okay, then. I ain't heard any more players leaving or.
No big ones at least. Yeah.
When we were talking about that 30 by 30 with Sonny Vaccaro, it was back then in the day when he was young and he was starting out. That's all. The only way the basketball players, they have on these high school classic games, you know, like the Dapper Dan Classic,
right.
The All-Stars, you know, where they get these basketball players like from Pittsburgh or Washington, D.C., and they'll go get all these high school players from all over the country to go play them.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Everything. This was back then before everything got so big business and big commercial oriented and all that other stuff.
Right.
But here's what I like to tell you. I'm going to ask you about two Saginaw High products. D'Anthony Arnett, how you look in the spring game?
He looked fantastic. I think D'Anthony Arnett, I mean, he could be the number one receiver for this team just based on what I saw in the spring game. Now, of course, that can completely change as Aaron Burbage, who we didn't really get a chance to see, he was on the sidelines, of course, during the spring game. So that could certainly change. But looking at, you know, Connor Cook and looking at his overall comfortability with certain guys, I mean, it was certainly a connection there with D'Anthony Arnett. I mean, the first pass he threw to Arnett was a beautiful over-the-shoulder throw, which Arnett hauled in. I really like D'Anthony Arnett. I think he showed some strides of possibly being a big factor for this team next season.
Oh, your big play. Is he going to be the number one guy, the big play?
I don't know. I think it's just so early, Mike. I mean, again, it's the spring game. So how much can you really draw from that? But at the end of the day, when you look at the numbers and you look at his overall athleticism, the kid has great hands, and he's a great route runner from what I saw. So, hey, he definitely has potential for being that guy if based on what I just saw.
Okay, then. I was going to ask you, did you watch the Golden State game 3 and 4 with Stephon Curry threw up that jump shot?
Of course. I am still wiping the crust out of my eyes from staying up late and watching that game. And I tell you what, Steph Curry is amazing. And you bringing it up, of course, our current sports radio engineer, Isaac Constance, he's born in New Orleans. He's a big Pelicans fan. I think he's still weeping about this series. So, yeah, incredible. And you know what's so interesting? I was watching SportsCenter over the weekend, Mike. If you rewind that play, And look closely. When Steph Curry lets go of the basketball, and it's fortunate it shows this and froze it. Did you know Steph Curry's eyes were completely closed?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Saw that too, man.
I didn't know his eyes was closed.
I didn't believe that either.
I sat there like, you got to be kidding. I didn't know his sport. I thought they were just kind of just playing a pun on words, but they actually showed the play, zoomed in right when he lets the ball go. His eyes were completely closed. He's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. That's Steph Curry for you. Only Steph Curry.
You noticed that when he released the ball, how high the ball was arcing toward the basket.
Nothing but the bottom.
And he hit nothing but the bottom. He didn't even the net move, but that was it, man. It was just like it was in the center of the basket, just went through.
Unbelievable.
And unbelievable. Now, are you fully convinced that Draymond Green was the best defensive player of the year, or Kawhi Leonard's just a beast?
I love Kawhi Leonard. I think the Kawhi Leonard, when looking at the season that he'd had defensively, what makes Kawhi so dynamic is that he's guarding guards on a daily basis. As opposed to Draymond, who you can make the argument for both of them. I really thought it could have went either way because I think both of them are outstanding defenders. That was really a toss up, if you ask me, Mike. So
it was, but he got more first place votes than Kawhi Leonard did. Kawhi Leonard was injured for 15 games too, though.
Yeah, and I think that rule needs to be changed in the future. But hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the call,
right,
my man.
Thank you for L. You take care, man. Thanks for everything, man. You check that out.
Hey, thank you, Mike. I will do, man. Have a good Monday. Again, phone lines are open 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, I want to play an interesting snippet from a really formidable SportsCenter, former SportsCenter anchor, of course, Keith Olbermann, who has his own show now. He had some interesting comments concerning this weekend's Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, we have finally reached the week that is going to be arguably host to the biggest boxing match in the history of the sport. Floyd Mayweather finally getting in the ring and doing the thing against Manny Pacquiao. How about that? Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Manny Pacquiao this Saturday at MGM Grand Casino in Las Vegas. But I tell you what, not everyone is a fan of this event. You know what? Keith Olbermann is a guy who I'm a big fan of. He has a great show on ESPN, his own show, actually, where he just kind of gives his opinion on things happening in the sports world. Keith Olbermann, along with a few other journalists, will not be supporting what is going to be going down on Saturday against with Floyd Mayweather taking on Manny Pacquiao. And there's an interesting reason. That having to do with Floyd Mayweather's background when it comes to domestic violence issues. Let's play a snippet from that right now.
The juries have already ruled on Floyd Mayweather 5 times. In a report this afternoon on Outside the Lines, John Barr told of Floyd Mayweather's record of criminal violence against women, which cascades down upon you like an avalanche. Here's some of his report.
According to police and court documents obtained by Outside the Lines, Mayweather has been convicted 5 times for incidents dating back more than 14 years. February 2001, during an argument with Melissa Brim, the mother of his oldest daughter, Mayweather punched Melissa 3 times in the face, leaving fresh bruises. July 2001, Mayweather struck Brim in the neck while the two were shopping with their daughter. August 2003, Mayweather assaulted 2 women who were friends of his then-girlfriend, Josie Harris, hitting and punching the women with a closed fist. Years later, Mayweather's conviction was vacated and dismissed. December 2003, Mayweather hit Harris, the mother of his other 3 children, in her face. A police report noted she had several visible bruises about her head. Mayweather was eventually found not guilty after Harris changed her story. But in September 2010, yet another incident with Harris. And this time, Mayweather would land in jail.
But not land in any significant trouble with the people who make money off of him. Again, John Barr with a Nevada State Athletic Commissioner.
You can suspend licenses for somebody who's arrested for anything north of a traffic violation. And you didn't do anything when a guy assaulted the mother of his children in front of his kids.
I disagree with your characterization strongly. The criminal justice system had decided what this man's punishment was. A judge had made that decision, and we paid respect to that decision.
The optics. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't look good, does it?
Well, the optics are your business. The optics are not my business.
Whose business is it then? Floyd Mayweather's family? Floyd Mayweather himself?
At a recent event to promote the fight, we learned what happens when members of Mayweather's entourage, including his father, are asked about the boxer's troubled past.
He has actual convictions, and nothing's ever happened to him with respect to any kind of sanction by the governing bodies of boxing.
Look at Manny, you a police?
No, I'm hey. Not. I'm not the police. I'm just asking.
Man, the police, man. Don't tell me nothing about no what Floyd doing with his beating his women and all. I want to hear all that. This is boxing, man. You want to talk about boxing? Do you, don't you?
Minutes later, we approached Mayweather with similar questions.
In your case, there's been actual convictions, and no governing body has ever suspended you or sanctioned you. What message do you think that sends victims of domestic violence?
I just say I want everybody to tune in May 2nd. Mayweather versus Pacquiao, this is a fight that you can't miss.
You have no desire to answer that question?
I'm blessed to be where I'm at. You know, I have four beautiful children, and I'm truly, truly blessed to be where I'm at today. And with hard work and dedication, you could be anywhere in life.
Well, look, unquestionably, you've worked hard to get to where you are, but there are a lot of people who wonder why you should be allowed to continue to box in the highest profile events when you've got the track record that you have, when in other sports, there have been serious repercussions for some of these athletes.
Well, when it's all said and done, only God can judge you. But I don't want people to miss this fight. This is an unbelievable matchup. Mayweather-Pacquiao, May 2nd. Be there.
You will support this excuse for a man?
Oh, boy. Yeah, there you have it. Again, that's Keith Olbermann on his show discussing the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight and why he will be boycotting that fight this Saturday night. Of course, he attacks it from the standpoint of looking at Floyd Mayweather's background and his troubling history of domestic violence. And it's very intriguing because, of course, throughout this semester, just like every school semester here on the campus of Michigan State University, Current Sports works directly with a group of outstanding students who, of course, want to have a future in the industry of sports reporting and or sports broadcasting in some way, shape, or form. And this year, of course, we had another group of outstanding students. They've done a great job all year getting out in the field and reporting on respective schools and finding interesting features to bring to the table here on Current Sports Radio, on our website, and even Current Sports TV. And today, sadly, I'm batting up my eye right here, you know, kind of sad, because this week actually will be their final week here before they take their finals, and many of them whom will be walking across the stage at the Breslin Center to receive their degrees in the world of journalism, and will be sent out into the workforce to try and find a job. That's the next tall order, right? But today, I mean, they held their first, their last official class meeting, and Joanne Gerstner, who has done one fantastic job with the Journalism 418 group throughout these past few semesters. With this being their final class, I stopped in to make sure I was there to wish the students farewell and to let them know I'm here for them as they make that transition into the workforce. And, you know, today's topic that Joanne wanted to get across was, of course, the Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight, which, again, will be taking place this Saturday. And, you know, she played the students this report from Keith Olbermann, and really posed a question, you know, as to what their thoughts were on it. As a reporter, would you boycott the Floyd Mayweather fight due to Floyd Mayweather's troubling history of domestic violence? And it was interesting to hear some of the comments from the respective students when really examining this issue, quote unquote issue, at its very foundation. Because for me, you know, one of the things about it is, I mean, I totally agree. I think when looking at Floyd Mayweather, and I totally agree from the standpoint of not boycotting the fight, because I see why some would boycott it. I get it. And I see why some just can't. I get that side of it, too. I mean, it's kind of a two-edged sword here, because if you look at it, Floyd Mayweather, folks, in the world of boxing, is the sports. He is the sport, to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you all. I mean, Floyd Mayweather and of course, Manny Pacquiao as well, because those are the two guys who are right now arguably at the top of their game. Floyd Mayweather has never lost. Manny Pacquiao is one of the most entertaining fighters you ever meet in your life. You know, only 5 losses in his career. And we have been waiting on this fight for, what, 5 years now. And it's finally going to take place this Saturday. So much hype surrounded around this fight. I mean, if you look at the tickets for the fight, I mean, they are in the thousands, folks. I mean, I think the lowest ticket price I saw was somewhere around $1,200. I mean, unbelievable. So as a journalist, if you don't agree with Floyd Mayweather's past of domestic violence, I get it. I definitely get that. So if you were to boycott this fight and say, no, I'm not covering it. This guy Floyd Mayweather is a clown. He's a joke. He shouldn't even be boxing right now. I will not support this man and report on it. At the same time, if you are a reporter and you say that, and you take a strong moral standpoint, which is admirable to say the least, if your boss comes to you and says, you know, it says to you, you have to report this, and you take that stand, all they're going to do is just find someone else to report on it. You may put your job in jeopardy for taking a stand like that. So it's very interesting because I only think, and this is another point one of the students brought up this morning, was that, you know, you have to be a journalist of some stature. You have to have some clout behind you, like a Keith Olbermann, to take a stance like that. Because, hey, at the end of the day, I mean, you're Keith Olbermann. I mean, just because you don't cover this fight doesn't mean you're going to lose your job. You're Keith Olbermann, for goodness sake. So I just found it very intriguing, you know, when having that discussion. And at the end of the day, Floyd Mayweather, yeah, when you look at his history of domestic violence, the man should not be boxing whatsoever. I believe that if this occurred, if someone with the history, domestic violence history of a Floyd Mayweather Jr. played football for the NFL or basketball for the NBA or Major League Baseball, I'm pretty sure some sort of big hammer would have been laid down on that individual's career. But what are you going to do when you've got the face of your sport, a man who racks in millions, a man who, in many senses of the word, pays your bills? When you've got a man like that at the preeminence of the game, hey, if you suspend him, you're ideally taking money out of your pocket. So can you blame him to a degree? Is it right? Heck no. From a moral standpoint, not at all. But hey, this is the conversation when things really become sticky, folks. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. Well, we're out of time, actually, so we'll take your calls tomorrow. But hey, you can still voice your opinion on it by going to facebook.com/currentsports, leaving a comment there. And also by tweeting me at almartinwkar.org. I want to give you all a quick reminder that on this week's Current Sports TV, I'll be sitting down with the Lansing Derby Vixens, Lansing's only roller derby team. You do not want to miss that feature, folks. I'm actually going out to their practice tomorrow night from 8 o'clock, 8 p.m., folks, not 8 a.m., 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and hopefully I don't end up sore again, times two, right? So you don't want to miss that, folks. You have been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic start to your week. And as always, be easy, people.